When the Pharisees, with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's homily is entitled "The Heart and Hypocrisy," right? Or a more positive, "Heart and Honesty, Sincerity." So we're here in the context of the Pentateuch in the first reading. So really the structure is simple. First reading, second reading, and gospel, and a few things that I think tie them together, but also really the powerful message that Jesus gives us in the gospel about how important the heart is to observance of what God reveals. First reading is Deuteronomy, so we're in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, what we share with all of our Jewish brothers and sisters, all Christians throughout the world, Catholics especially. And Moses has given the people the Ten Commandments, and now he's bringing them together and inviting them to observe them, right? And he says some interesting things. "All right, Israel, come around, hear the statutes, decree, which I'm teaching you to observe." And he gives them two motivations, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land. Like, around this law that God has revealed to us about honoring the Sabbath, about honoring our parents, about not stealing from one another, like not desiring the goods your neighbor has, etc. All of that, that's the path to life as a people, but all in, also individually. And following that's going to give us the strength to then go in and conquer this land that God wants to give us. So there's life and then security. There's a place for us if we rally around what God has revealed to us. And then he gives them another motivation in the second part, not just for their own good, for their own life and them as a people to conquer, take the land that God wants to give. But thirdly, the other motivation is observe them carefully, and it's going to give evidence to all those around them, around you, of your wisdom, your intelligence. Like, the people are going to observe you, as it says here, "Wow, this great nation's truly wise and intelligent," right? Where did they get this wisdom? Like they said about Jesus, like, hey, where did they get all this? Wow. And then secondly, he says, who else has God so close to him that gives him this law, right? Where did they get it? And they'll probably answer, well, God revealed it to us on the mountain, gave us the two tablets. We've got them stored here. We're trying to observe it. Like, wow, you've got a God who comes down and writes on stone. You've got a God that showers down bread when you're hungry. You've got a God that provides meat. God that defends you from your enemies when you escape from Egypt. Like, wow. And they only know all that because you observe and you obey and you don't rebel, but you adhere to it. And then people are like, wow. That's what Deuteronomy and Moses challenged the people to. Then we go to St. James. All good giving, every perfect gift is from above. That law that comes from God, that teaching, all good things, it's all good. Sometimes we're tempted to see what God asks as not so good. At least, now good doesn't mean easy, but good is good. sometimes hard. It's coming down from the Father of lights. And then he says, he wills to give you life, birth by the word of truth, right? If you hold on to this, you're going to have life. You're going to be reborn. What do we need? Humbly welcome the word that's been planted. It takes humility to accept it, to adhere to it, to not criticize it, right? And even in the Old Testament said, don't add or take away from it. Think you know more. Tweak it for yourself. You know, I get it. Love those Ten Commandments. The eighth or the ninth, maybe not so important. No, it's receive it all as a gift because it comes from God. And so in humility, we welcome that word. When planted in our souls, it bears fruit, right? Lets us conquer that moral land of freedom and peace. And then the kicker from James, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deluding yourself. How many times are you like, I hear it, I got it, I'm really good because I've listened, I read the Bible, but I don't live it. Hey, you're kind of deluding yourself, you know? It's like that one said, which of the two sons, right? The one says, okay, I got it, I'll do it. And then he doesn't go do it. Or the one who says, no, thank you, but then actually doesn't. Jesus highlights and values the doing. Not just because we're voluntarists or because it's all about the law and fulfilling it. No, in fact, the gospel is going to clarify that. It's about hearing and doing. Because as human beings, that's who we are. We're listeners and then we're agents. We act in the world. And finally, Jesus. This is great, and we can miss some of these setup lines that I want to highlight. First is when the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem. So Jesus is up north teaching his apostles. They're traveling from Jerusalem, like 20, 30 miles, coming from headquarters to check out what Jesus is saying. And they're gathering around. And what do they observe? Because they're not just going to a talk and listening and then going off. They observe how they eat. They're hanging out with them. They're breaking bread. They're like, you know what? These people don't observe the purity laws, right? And then Mark says, you know what? You know, the Jews got all these laws about how they deal with food when they come in from the marketplace, etc. Jesus' disciples weren't doing that. And that's what they decide to pick on, right? They say, okay, we figured out. We see something that doesn't line up. You can't be from God. Look at you. You don't follow the purity laws. And so they pull off Jesus, and they say, hey, why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders? And then they eat hands of, you know, meals with unclean hands. And then Jesus, he kind of pulls out a big gun, right? It's like, hey, they just wondered why you don't wash your hands. And then Jesus goes to Isaiah. Truly, Isaiah said of you people, back when you guys were kicked out of Israel for not worshiping God honestly and truthfully and following the law, and God let them ransack you and destroy the temple and send you into exile. Isaiah was right when he said of you people back then, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. And he sums it up, and now this is Jesus speaking, you disregard God's commandments, but cling to human tradition like washing hands when you come in from the marketplace before you eat. It's almost Jesus, you can say, that's what you've got an issue with? I'm healing the blind. I'm making the lame walk. I'm doing all these amazing things. The poor have the good news preached to them. And you come all the way from, and you're picking on the fact that Peter didn't wash his hands because it says in Leviticus that you should. It's so true what Isaiah said to you people. You honor and obey, but your hearts are so far. You worship. Like, it's serious what Jesus accuses them of. Like, you're hung up on that, you are missing the picture, right? You disregard God's commandments, the 10. Honor your father and mother, worship on Sunday. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't steal from, like, those. You disregard those things and you're picking on washing hands, right? And then to double down, Jesus not just has a conversation with them, but then another little line you could miss. He summoned the crowd again and said to them, like, bring it in, everybody. If they don't get it, got to make sure you all do. Come on in. Hear this. Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing enters from outside that defiles the person, but it's what comes out of you. sure, those purity laws have their place and are important and are healthy. Yeah, you should probably wash your hands when you come in. When your mom says, wash your hands before dinner, probably a good idea. But if she says, don't punch your little sister, probably a little more important. Don't skip Mass on Sunday, probably a little more important. Don't steal from your neighbor, probably a little more important, right? It's not what comes in, it's what comes out of you. And then he goes through a very itemized list of sins, which all correspond to the Ten Commandments. Evil thoughts, unchastity, murder, adultery, greed. Like these things, that's what makes you impure. Not the fact you don't wash your hands or don't change your sheets on the property. Now, as we apply this to our own lives, we could say, yeah, Jesus, go get them. Rules, bad. It's all about the heart, you know? Gotta love. You know? Forget about all these rules. These Catholics, we got all kinds of rules, right? Rules, bad. Jesus, good. Pharisees, bad. Jesus, good. And simplify. Jesus, that's not the point. He doesn't disregard the law and the prophets. In fact, we all remember that word. Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. Or you heard that it was said before, remember that law? I say to you, whoever thinks evil, whoever looks at a woman, you know, he raises the bar. He's not about diluting the law. What he is about is live that and live it to the nth degree with great perfection, with a renewed heart, a transformed heart, someone that loves freely and radically and totally and completely, that adores God and puts him in first place and worships him. And expresses that in lots of choices throughout the day. That's what Jesus, it's not an either or, just the heart and not the law, or not. It's both. It's the heart and the expression of the heart in your choices. That's what Jesus invites us to. That's the invitation of our Lord, both and. So yes, all the rules, especially the ones God reveals, important, but not because there are rules, or not just because I want to check them off and then I'm good and my heart's far from the Lord. It's those rules need to become a path to my heart expressing itself, expressing its love and its option and its choice for my beloved, which is the Lord. Let's pray for that grace, because we as human beings, it's our natural tendency. It's just give it to me clear, let me get do it, and then I'll go about my business and do with my heart what I want. No. It's easy for us to fall into legalism or just getting by, or it's hard to give sense to everything that we do with real intentionality and focus and love. So let's pray for that grace today in Mass, that God renew our hearts, like he said to Jeremiah, and give us a new heart that's soft and supple and loving and flexible and free and engaged and energized and purposeful to do and respond and love and embrace all that God reveals to us in his word. Amen.